here today and to celebrate together as three of our kids are baptized. As we sit today in the season of Advent, and I read the prophet Malachi, the passage that Adrian read for us today, I was struck by a couple of things as I was thinking about our particular service in the midst of Advent today. It's interesting that if you think about Advent, and certainly the season then of Christmas, children are all over it, right? And the Advent season kicks off with these incredible prophecies, these incredible promises of God to the people of God, particularly to people like Elizabeth and Zechariah, or to Mary and to Joseph, as heaven comes and promises the birth of children. The passage in Malachi that we read, which was chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, makes mention of John the Baptist prophetically. It's a promise of his birth long before his birth, hundreds of years before his birth. But it's also there too, anytime that John the Baptist is prophesied, so too is the call of God on his life, which was simply to make a way for Jesus. And so there's this prophetic promise that marks the season of the first Advent, as we waited for the incarnation of Christ to come in amongst us. And it's profound to me today as we think about baptism, and particularly today because the three individuals being baptized are children. And so it stands out to me here in the Advent story how profound it is that the promise is fulfilled in the life first of a baby, in the life of an infant. And right away we see in both John the Baptist's life and in Jesus as infants already, there is a very clear sense of the call of God on their life. And it's there predominantly and known predominantly because he's revealed it to their parents. That as these children are born and then will grow into what are some incredible callings. I mean, to say praise God for the life of Jesus sounds like the understatement of Advent, right? That he was faithful to come, to take on flesh, to dwell among us, to walk these things out. But for John the Baptist too, you see that his calling is actually lived into before he's able to comprehend it. Because God knew to let Zechariah particularly in on the plan, so that he could raise him up into the promises and the plans of God for his life. It's profound to me that when we think of Advent, that the Lord would bring us to think of children, for us to come and to think of babies, and to recognize that what's happening in the waiting of Advent, but certainly in its culmination at Christmas, is the Lord wanting us to see how profoundly what's happening is the providence of God. That the creator of the universe is at work. It's not about men like John. And it would be so easy to get wrapped up in that, to think that it was about his charism or his abilities or his talents. But the reality of it is the call of God on his life started already as an infant. It was already his and it was already the promise and the plan of God before John could ever have a say in it. It's something worth thinking about, especially in our day, where we're so consumed with autonomy, where to us it seems so incredibly essential that we choose and decide everything for ourselves. There's a biblical mandate and a picture laid out by the one who first breathed life into us that we would not be born into autonomy. And the reality of it is, if we were born into autonomy, we would die, wouldn't we? If an infant is left to their own to figure life out from day one, it would only last a matter of hours at best. And there's a picture there for us that doesn't completely ever change as we think about our relationship to Jesus, our relationship to our Creator. That as we grow, certainly there is autonomy that comes, and the gift of faith, and the practice of those things. And certainly, I've talked much with Matt and Isabel, with Adam and Alexa, about the incredible joy, but the incredible responsibility that is theirs as parents to raise those children up into those things, to stand in those things and to take that faith on for themselves. But let us never forget that no matter how old or smart or theologically sound or astute we become, we've never surpassed the need for the grace of our Creator. That never do we stand on our own two feet in relationship to Jesus. But that the gift of Christmas, but that the season of waiting was fulfilled in the fulfillment of promise, we would all be sunk. It teaches us then, even today, as the children come and as they're baptized, I think often in these moments of this moment when parents were bringing their kids to Jesus and the disciples thought they were maybe wasting the time of an important man who had better things to do. And Jesus is quick to say, stop, let the little children come to me. And he took them up into his arms and he blessed them. And today, as the children come and as we watch that, I think there's an incredible lesson for us to be learned. And something to be thought about for all of us as a church, because not only do parents make a commitment today, but you'll see in our liturgy that so will you as a church make a commitment to these children, to pour into them, to pray for them, to model for them what it is to follow Jesus in an authentic way and to invite them alongside to come and to learn with you what that looks like. But I think it's an important thing as we think about this prophecy in Malachi, and he speaks about John the Baptist coming and these promises, and then seeing it fulfilled in children, that there's something that we could think about and even pray about today as Thomas and Oliver and Ember are baptized, and that is with all of our children to never lose sight of the fact that they were created by a Creator who creates with intention. That already there's plans and purposes in the heart of God for these children. That there's a call of God on their lives. There's a trajectory. And the fact that they were born into faithful families who bring them today to Jesus and in faith commit them to him is no accident. And it's a great gift to them. I love how God was faithful to Zechariah. And parents, this morning, as your children are baptized and you think about your role in their lives, the authority that you have there and how you're raising them, I think you can take great comfort in this, that God was so faithful to Zechariah and Elizabeth, to Mary and Joseph. They weren't on their own. I think, if we take it in, that our children have a call of God on our lives could become crushing as parents, couldn't it? You could start to think, how do I do this? But to be reminded that the God who calls them, the God who created them with intention, is as committed and probably some days even more committed to them than you are. And so to know that you're partnering with him in the lives of your children, and what an incredible picture of that baptism is this morning. God was at work in Zechariah's life, preparing him to understand better his role as a dad. He wanted him to see his son rightly. And so from day one, Zechariah had a clear sense that while John was his son, he wasn't his. Right? And that the plans for John's life weren't necessarily Zechariah's plans for John's life, but that God had plans. And it seems to shape and change Zechariah. He's quiet, incredibly quiet, for 9 months while he contemplates and prepares for this. And when he finally names John and then gives his beautiful prophecy, you see the depth of work that's been done in the heart of a father. And my prayer for all of you as parents, but particularly for those of you having your children baptized today, is that the Spirit would be at work in you to give you vision for the lives of your children. And that that would follow them through their lives as you continue to parent and pray for and pour into them. There's a prophetic quality to children in our lives. Children, they exemplify something for us, and Jesus pointed that out when he said, unless you have faith like one of these, you can't enter the kingdom, right? They teach us something if we'll pay attention. Certainly, we're teaching them all kinds of things, sometimes even when we didn't mean to, right? They're learning from us, but I think by the providence of God, if we have our eyes open and our ears open to what God is doing and saying, we would learn a lot from our kids, and particularly from our smallest. I've told many of you that probably personally, one of my favorite parts of the Eucharist is serving some of our smallest. Every time Willa comes running to the front and sits down, right down on the ground, and then if Alexa doesn't get down on her knees beside her, she grabs her and pulls her down. Like, we're having communion now, right? And she's like this high and then receives it so deeply. And I just sit and I think, oh, unless I can come to Christ like one of these, I can't enter the kingdom. Such a beautiful picture and such a beautiful message. And there's a voice of God at play in our children if we'll pay attention. And praise God that Elizabeth and Zechariah caught it, but praise God that so many caught it at the birth of Christ, as shepherds come and later magi come, and you know, there's the innkeeper come, and they sit and they see, yes, a small baby, but they're able to see so much more. Christmas Eve, we'll take some time to look at Simeon and Anna. There's a responsibility, I think, on our part as a church, and particularly on yours as parents, and we want to support you in that, but a responsibility to listen to God and to faithfully then raise your kids in accordance to His heart and His leading for them. It can be so tempting to have agendas and plans for our kids' lives, right? You wouldn't be the first parent to ever live vicariously through your kids' hockey career, for example. Or to want so badly for them to be able to play cello like Gray, right? And that's okay. It's a beautiful thing to put options in front of your children, but let it always be subservience underneath this space where we listen closely to the Lord. And we ask Him consistently, God, what are You doing in the lives of my children? What have You put inside of them? And how do I faithfully cultivate this young man, this young woman, who You made so creatively and with such beautiful intention? Our job really, in summary, is one of stewardship. To steward well that which God has given to us, and to not hold on to it as if it's our property, but to remember always that even our children already were created by God to live in a life of worship with God. Recognize the promise. In this Advent season, we've talked so much about promise as we wait. That our waiting isn't void of promise. We have a sure and confident hope. And as you sit with and live with and raise your children, particularly today in light of their baptism, up into that faith, recognize the promise of God over their lives. Who will they become? What will they do? How will they uniquely embody the gospel in a world that so desperately needs to see it clearly? It calls all of us, and certainly those of you who are parents, to a couple of things. First of all, it really does raise the responsibility for us to consistently be refined. And if we come back to that Malachi passage, in the waiting, in the prophecy, there is a call to repentance, to be people who are being prepared, being made ready for the day of the Lord, to be those who don't neglect the poor and the needy, but to extend the good news of the gospel to them. And you're, like we said before, your children are learning from you. And church, our children are learning from us. Many of our children already, even some of them who can yet not put together proper sentences, can recite pieces of our liturgy. Who actually get a little bit upset. Have you ever, when you had children, if you got to think back, but even with your children now, had a book that they loved, and before they could read and you knew they couldn't read, if you skipped a word, they got mad? Right? It's common that they are learning, that they are growing, and they're learning from what it is that you provide to them and give to them. And so there is an added level for us when we think about our own even repentance, our being refined by the Lord and made more like Jesus day in and day out. Friends, certainly there's a gift in that for you personally. But there's an important piece to that, too, for your community, that we don't live in isolation, and certainly as it relates to your children. And so we commit our lives to Jesus, and we seek and pray, Lord, help us walk in a Christ-like way. Let it be possible for us to day in and day out be able to say to our children, like Paul said to his spiritual children, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And families, especially Isabel and Matthew, Adam and Alexa, today as a church, we pray for you as you raise these kids, that you would consistently be brought to the feet of Jesus, that your relationship with him would be rich and full, and that you would forever have the grace to walk through your triumphs, but too, to walk through your failings in a way that models to your children what it is to live in relationship to Jesus. And so this prophecy, and even as the children are baptized today, it reminds all of us of our baptisms, of our need to be washed and to be right before Jesus. But the other thing that it calls us to is to give our lives for the sake of those who are in need. And if you remember the last couple of verses that Adrian read for us, it reminds us not to forget children, and especially not to forget children who don't have fathers, who don't have mothers. To not forget the widow. To not forget the sojourner. I think very closely in our day, connected to the idea of sojourner, we should remember and be intentional not to forget the refugee. Those new to Canada, displaced from their homes. And so today, as we baptize the children now, and as we come to this part of our service, part of what it gives us as a picture and calls us all into is to have that heart in Jesus that said to the disciples, don't turn them away. Let those who need us be cared for with intention. Be poured into without restraint, without hesitation. And our clear example in this is certainly in this Advent, Christ, who took on flesh and dwelt among us, who came to those who were in need, who didn't forget those who, while they were yet sinners, needed a Savior, and so gave his life for them, which in the waters of baptism we are so beautifully reminded of. As Thomas and Oliver and Ember are united with Christ in a death like his, and so too risen to new life in him. What a grace. What a gift. I'm going to invite the